Good morning, Bridge City Church, White Oak Campus. How's everybody doing this morning? Y'all doing good? Awesome. It's great to be up here to see you all this morning. Thank you for being here. If I haven't had the opportunity to introduce myself yet, I'm Pastor Nick. I'm the campus pastor here at the White Oak Campus of Bridge City Church. And I say it every week. I'll continue to say it. It's an honor and a privilege to see you all and to get to be able to share the Word of God. There's no place I'd rather be this side of heaven than right here with you all doing exactly that. And today we get to continue our Set Free series, and we're talking specifically about relationships today and the power of relationships. Today is our group kickoff. We get to kick off groups, and we'll talk about groups and the importance of groups and why groups are vitally important to everything that we do. And before we dig into the message, I just want to pray. So, Father God, thank you so much for who you are and who we get to be because of you. And Lord, I just pray that today that we wouldn't just be hearers of your word, but we would be doers of your word, Lord. God, that we would take what we hear and we would do it. We would walk it out, Lord. God, may you speak to each and every one of us exactly where we're at, but we wouldn't stay there, Lord. We would move forward. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So a great quote from Kevin Eikenberry. It says, look carefully at the closest associations in your life, for that is the direction that you're headed. Look around you and see who's closest to you, and that is the direction that you're headed. That's where you're going. You're going to be a product of your environment. I was reading this quote over and over and over again, and I was looking at who I was hanging out with. And I was like, all right, I could dig it. You know, I'm all right with this. I'm good. They're aging well. Right? Some of them look better now than when I started hanging out with them 20 years ago. So I'm like, all right, I'm good with this. All right? They're not limping around. They're doing all right. I can follow them. But wherever you're at, you need to look around you and think, okay, what are the signs? You know, every single July, we go on a bike ride for my father-in-law's birthday. And we ride the miles in his age. So we actually rode a little bit farther than his age this year. We rode a little over 70 miles. And we looked at each other. We were like, we need to pick somebody else's birthday. Maybe somebody a little younger. And yeah, we'll pick Lennon's birthday. Yeah, he's going to be 7 this month. And we were riding on the Panhandle in West Virginia, and we were all very hungry. We were starving. And we looked around us like, we don't think a restaurant's just going to pop up. We don't think that there's just going to be this wonderful burger joint that has milkshakes that's just going to pop up on the Panhandle here. They don't even have paved roads. We hadn't seen a house in ages. Whatever's surrounding you is what is going to be your future. So if there's free people around you, freedom is what you're going to be walking in. We've been launching out of John 8:36 every single week in this series. And it reads, so if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed. Freedom is what we were created for. We were created to walk in freedom. We were created to walk in freedom while being in unity with everybody else. We are not going to shy away from the fact that today we're going to talk about relationships. Relationships are the very heart of God's plan for humanity. We were created to be in relationship. If we look all the way back from the Garden of Eden to the early church, relationships were the plan. God's shown us that we were created to live in community, not in isolation. Let's look at the perfect example of this. COVID. Isolation was not a good thing. Social distancing is the worst term that was ever created. I am good with physical distancing. That was okay. Don't touch people. Wash your hands. You ever see the sign that says employees must wash their hands? How about everyone must wash their hands? Let's put that everywhere. I was at a restaurant recently, and I was in the bathroom, and there was only one sink. I was trying to time it perfectly so that I didn't have to fight for the sink. Other dude just didn't wash his hands, just walked out. I was like, I wanted to come out of the bathroom and just announce to everybody, that dude didn't wash his hands, everybody. That dude, red shirt, big beard, stay away. Just thankful it wasn't a buffet. Think about it. Yeah. All right, let's get back on track here. Listen, we were delivered from darkness so that we can live in the light that God created us to live in. And sometimes you need people that are next to you ready to shine a light for you because we can't do it on our own. We were bound up by things, and sometimes we need some people around us that are going to get us unbound. We're going to talk about that today. God created us to be in freedom in community, not to just be free by ourselves, frolicking around in some field. Yay! This isn't some, like, antibiotic commercial. I could go off again, but I'm not. Listen, we were not just saved to cope and get by and have this is as good as it gets mentality. We're created for more. And when we start to see that we're being set free from our stuff, things start to change. So how do we realize that we're being set free relationally? Our perspective is starting to change. The way that we are seeing life and seeing people around us, our perspective is changing, and people are starting to help us change our perspective. We have people in our lives that are encouraging us constantly. They're encouraging us in the things that we're going through, the things that we're about to go through, or things that we should be going through. They're encouraging us. We're being set free relationally whenever there are people in our lives that are challenging us. If you're not being challenged, you don't have relationships in your life that are helping to set you free. I just challenged somebody this morning. And then after I challenged them, listen, I love you more than you can even imagine. And I wasn't telling a lie. And then after that, there was a next step involved. Let's do this. Let's do this together. Let's move forward. I'm set free. He's set free. We're in relationship. We're walking forward. We're moving forward. So today we're going to talk about one of the most powerful examples in the Bible of a relationship that moved not only that single relationship forward, but relationships all around them. And it's still moving us forward because of one singular relationship. And it's the relationship between Jesus and Lazarus. And you're like, wow, he raised him from the dead. How does that affect me? It's still affecting you. We're going to focus on John 11, and listen, we can't read all the verses, so I want you to read John 11, but we're going to focus on 1 through like 45, but I want you to read those verses, every single verse. We're going to pull some highlights out throughout those verses, but you read John 11. You go dig in, read John 11, but we're going to talk about Lazarus. Lazarus is the brother of Mary and Martha, and their family lives in Bethany. It's near Jerusalem. And Lazarus, he gets sick. He comes down with an illness, and he becomes gravely ill. So Mary and Martha send word to Jesus, and they say, Lord, the one you love is sick. He's very sick. Obviously, if you're in close relationship with somebody, when somebody becomes ill, you get word. And you want to do anything that you can for that person. And Jesus' response was interesting. He delays in going to Bethany for 2 days in John 11:6. Now, sometimes whenever somebody in our life becomes ill or becomes sick or something's going on major in our life, we instantly want to go and react and do something and think that we're going to solve it right away and we're going to do something. But sometimes we need to still ourselves. Jesus stilled himself and he explains that Lazarus's illness is going to glorify God. It's going to glorify God. This illness is going to be bigger than the sickness. Lazarus's stuff and the stuff that Mary and Martha are walking through with them is going to be bigger. So listen, whatever you may be going through right now, whatever you're suffering through, maybe it is illness, maybe it's a financial thing, maybe it's an addiction, maybe it's just that sin that you can't seem to put behind you. It might not look like it, it might not smell like it, it may not feel like it, it may not seem possible, but it can and will be used to glorify God if you let it. So let's talk about the journey to Bethany. Jesus makes a decision to go. And what does he do? He tells his disciples about Lazarus. He says, listen, Lazarus has fallen asleep and we must go. He said, our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep. And now I will go and wake him up. I want you to catch something that I didn't catch at first. He says, our friend. I don't know if all the disciples had ever had the opportunity to meet Lazarus. But Jesus says, our friend. We have the opportunity today to sign up for groups. Some of you have already signed up for a group. And a group is a very simple thing. It's a group of friends that gets together, reads the Bible, prays, and decides what they're going to do about it. Now, you may think, I'm going to sign up to be a part of something that's a group of strangers that I've never met before, but they define it as a group of friends. I'm not even going to define my group as a group of friends. I'm not going to. Because there are men within my group that are family. They're family. As a matter of fact, after our second worship experience, I'm leaving with my wife to go to San Antonio. And one of those family members is going to my house and staying there. We haven't set anything up yet. We haven't even talked. We've been playing phone tag for the last 3 days. And I'm just going to hand him a key and say, hey, there you go. That's family. There are people that have signed up for our group this semester that have never been a part of our group. And they're going to walk in and they're going to have the same fridge privileges that everybody else does. And I'm going to expect them to put stuff in it just like everybody else does. Frank, I hope they make the best pickled stuff. Listen, if you haven't had Pittsburgh sushi, you need to have it. What's Pittsburgh sushi? Stuffed banana peppers with sauerkraut. You slice them, put them on a thing, you put some chopsticks. That's Pittsburgh sushi. Our friend. And guess what they did? They said, let's ride. Let's go. We're riding. They were confused, though. They're like, what do you mean he's fallen asleep? And Jesus had to be like, listen, he's dead. Lazarus is dead. We got to go help him. Imagine the disciples at this point, like, excuse me, Jesus, what are we doing? They misunderstood. And Jesus clarified for them, listen, Lazarus is dead in John 11:14. But we're going to help. They arrive in Bethany, and Lazarus has been in the tomb for 4 days in John 11:17. There's so many mourners present with Mary and Martha. People that are caring, people that are with them, people that are supporting them. And Jesus has a conversation with Martha, and Martha expresses her belief that Jesus could have prevented Lazarus' death. You could have done something. You could have been here sooner. Where were you? And Jesus reassures who he is. I am the resurrection and the life. And Martha affirms her faith in Jesus, that he is who he says he is. In John 11:27, I know you are who you say you are. You are the Messiah. And I have faith in you. I trust in you. And Jesus has an encounter with Mary. And she also expresses her grief, saying, Lord, if you had only been here, my brother would not have died. My brother wouldn't have died if you would have been here. This wouldn't have happened. Listen, Jesus deeply cares about what you're going through. He sees you. He knows you. As a matter of fact, I believe that he still does exactly what he does with Mary in John 11:35. He's moved by your stuff and he weeps with you. He weeps with you. But he doesn't stay there. Remember, Jesus said that Lazarus's illness, Lazarus's stuff will glorify God. So listen, you may be weeping right now. You may be going through some stuff. I know some of this stuff. And Jesus is with you. But he wants you to be set free. And he wants to do it through other people. He's already given you life. He's already given you freedom. He's already called you to walk in that. Indeed. So here comes the miracle. And I'm looking out upon all of you, and you, each and every one of you that has received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you're a miracle. You're walking in a miracle. Because if you didn't receive him, I know that a lot of people would still be walking in death, a life separate from him. I sit here before you today and stand here and walk around before you today knowing that if it weren't for Jesus, I would be dead. And I'm not just talking about a spiritual death. Jesus asks for the stone to be removed despite all the objections. It'll smell bad. It'll stink. It's just like our objection, the famous Pittsburgh quote, I can't go to church, it'll catch on fire. I can't go to church, I stink too bad. I can't go to church, I need to get clean first. That's like saying you need to get a bath before you get a bath. Don't move that stone away, the odor will be horrible. He's been dead for days. Jesus prays to the Father, thanking him for hearing him in John 11, 41 through 42. And then in verse 43, Jesus commands Lazarus to come out. Lazarus, come out. Listen, I don't know what tomb you may be living in, but Jesus is commanding you to stop. Come out of the cave. Get out of the cage you've been in. The key has been unlocking it for years. Stop. Just walk out. Now, here's the interesting part. Lazarus emerges from the tomb, and he's still wrapped in burial clothes. Here comes the disciples. Verse 44. Jesus instructs them to take off the grave clothes and let him go. And the dead man came out, and his hands and feet were bound in grave clothes, his face wrapped in headcloth, and Jesus told them to unwrap him and let him go. Listen, Jesus brings the power, but he uses others to help us walk into our true identity and destiny. Jesus will bring the healing that you need, but he's going to use others to unwrap you. Jesus will give you freedom. Jesus will move the stone away so you can walk out of the tomb you've been staying in, the cave you've been hiding in, the cage you've been locked up in, but he's going to use others to unwrap you. So I don't know what burial clothes you've been living in, but you need to let others unwrap you. It is freeing when you go to somebody else and say, hey, listen, I've been dealing with this. And they're sitting across the table from you and they say, you know what? I dealt with that years ago. What? You? I thought you were perfect. Yeah, no. No, not at all. I'm chasing after the only person that is perfect, Jesus. And if you're in here and you don't understand, Jesus Christos, that's Spanish for Jesus. Let somebody get around you and unwrap you from the grave clothes you've been living in. You're like, I don't have grave clothes. Yeah. You probably do. Or maybe you're the person that is going to unwrap somebody because you used to have grave clothes. We have connection group leaders in this room. We have coaches in this room. We have apprentices in this room. We're going to pray over them before we receive communion today. Because they are the main unwrappers in this church. The main people that are going to help unwrap people from grave clothes. They are the people that are going to help us get set free and be examples of how powerful relationships are. Not because they're perfect, but because they're willing to lead the way, set up a time and a place for community to happen. So let's look at some examples of how relationships are God's design. From the beginning, God designed us for relationship. Even in Genesis 2:18, God said, it's not good for man to be alone. And this truth applies not just to marriage, but to all relationships. Listen, when we're alone, we get weird. We do. We get weird. And some people are like, I like to be alone. I'm introverted. There's nothing wrong with being an introvert. Nothing at all. But the longer you're alone, the weirder we get. We start to think thoughts that we're not supposed to think, or we start to really believe things that we planted in our own mind, and we need people to be around us. We need people to help us with the types of relationships that we were created to have, our horizontal relationships. These are the relationships and connections that we have with people around us, our family, our friends, our church community. They provide encouragement, accountability, and companionship. They provide these things, our horizontal relationships. I want you to think about a horizontal line, okay? Everybody go like this. Look at that, everybody. Come on, Greco. Oh, he's like, oh. All right, now everybody go like this, vertical. Look, you all just created a cross. Look at that. All right, everybody, come on, keep going. Oh, look at that. Oh, you all just blessed me. Okay? Our vertical relationship, our relationship with God is the foundation of everything else. If our relationship with Him is off, all the other ones are going to be off. This relationship needs to be strong. It needs to be able to support everything else. And it overflows onto how we love others and serve others and encourage others and empower others. It helps us to give a good perspective. It helps us to encourage. It helps us to challenge. It helps us to give a better next step. It helps us to set people free and unwrap them from their grave clothes. Biblical relationships sharpen us. As iron sharpens iron, so one person sharpens another. Listen, it's nice to be sharp. I got my first ever Leatherman for my 40th birthday. Multi-tool. It has a knife. It has a serrated knife. It has a saw. And it has a file. Four different types of blades. I just had to sharpen it because it was getting dull. I almost cut myself cutting cardboard. You don't cut yourself with a sharp knife usually. You cut yourself with a dull one. And then I almost cut myself while I was sharpening it. Sharpening isn't always a fun process. But once you're sharp, it's nice. And then you can be used to cut through some grave clothes, to set some other people free. And the sharper you are, the quicker you unwrap people. Listen, as we walk in this, the challenge is that God uses relationships to keep us on the right path. A friend in Christ will always lovingly correct and guide us when we're stray. And the more those relationships are built, the more those relationships are fed, we don't want to stray away from them. Because we know the encouragement. In times of struggle, biblical relationships provide comfort and remind us of God's promises. They give us perspective. Hebrews 10, 24 through 25 encourages us to stir one another up in love and good works and to meet together regularly. True friends in Christ are not afraid to speak the truth in love and to help us see our blind spots. Listen, we all have them. We all have things that we can't see. Listen, I have people in my life that will say to me, hey, you're doing that thing you do. And I know exactly what they mean. And I stop doing it. I have people in this room that I have gone to them and I tell them, if you see me doing this, you have the right to come and tell me because it is a blind spot for me. And then I go to them sometimes because sometimes they forget to tell me. And I say, am I doing this? And they will say yes or they will say no. And they will say, well, you know, kinda. Sorry. Sarah's the greatest campus admin in the world. She's the best. Can you all help me with something? Yes?
Yes.
Yes? Four of you. Can everybody help me with something? Yes. We're going to try in 2025 to get Sarah to stop apologizing. Yes. Can we do that?
Yes.
Yeah?
Yeah, we can do it.
Yeah, we can do it. Sarah, you're the best. I received that. Sorry. Relationships reflect the love of Christ. Jesus taught us the greatest commandment is to love God and to love others. Love God and love others. To be an example of sacrificial love. Listen, biblical relationships reflect Christ's love. They reflect what that looks like. We see this in connection groups. We see this when we're serving together. We see this when we walk out sacrificial love and we bear one another's burdens. Galatians 6:2, serve one another selflessly. Hey, we got to go. Lazarus is asleep. What do you mean he's asleep? Have somebody wake him up. No, Lazarus is dead. We got to roll. All right, let's roll. These relationships are an example of forgiveness and grace, walking out mercy and grace. Just as God has forgiven us, we must forgive others. We're going to do a whole series on Colossians. We're going to walk out what Colossians looks like, what it is an example of. But biblical relationships thrive when they're rooted in grace and humility. They thrive. They grow. Listen, relationships strengthen the church. You want to see a strong church? It meets Monday through Saturday. A strong church meets Monday through Saturday, not on Sunday and Sunday alone. You know what one of the prayers was when we launched the White Oak campus? That this building would be used every single day. You know what one of the prayers is now? That we would have a building that is bigger than this one because Sarah has to apologize to people because there's no room in the building for them to use it. Answered prayers. Every time Sarah comes to me and says, hey, we have a problem. I said, no, we have an opportunity. This is an answered prayer. I'm so excited. Got a call yesterday. Hey, we don't have any storage. That closet is full. I was smiling on the other end of the phone. Answered prayer. So how do we walk this out, church? How do we walk it out? We have to prioritize our relationship with God. We have to prioritize it. It has to be our number one priority. When we have unity and diversity, we understand that we're all different. I look out in this room, you're all different. There's a bunch of different people in this room. You're different. That's a good thing. You're different. My wife is completely different than who I married in the best way possible. And I'd marry her again tomorrow and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after and the day after. And the day after, and the day after, because I just want to have a big party every day. We do it a little different. The caterers that are out there now aren't out there. Can I book Core Event Center every day? Yeah. Our relationships within the church teach us to value and appreciate each other's gifts and perspectives. Listen, you all don't see the same way I do, and I don't see the same way you do, but that's beautiful. We have to be on mission together. We work together in biblical relationships to accomplish God's mission and to reach the lost and to make disciples. An example of this is Acts 2. 42 through 47, it gives us such a beautiful picture of what this looks like. They prioritize their relationship with God. They spent time together. They grew together. They gathered, they grew. They gave of their time. They went out and gathered more people. And guess who got glory all the while? God. And God added to their numbers over and over and over and over again. I think that's actually part of the vision of Bridge City Church. We gather, we grow, we give, and we go. All for the glory of God. God will get glory when we gather together. God will get glory when you grow. God will give glory when you begin to give of your life. God will get glory when you go outside of these walls and shout from the rooftop that you're not perfect, but you're chasing after the one who is. Prioritize your relationship with God. Spend time in prayer with Him. Study His Word. Seek Him daily. Build godly relationships. Sign up for a group today. Step out in faith and sign up for a group. I don't have a group of friends. They'll become that. Trust me. Invest in the community around you. And watch the return. The ROI in God's kingdom is unbelievable. Listen, everybody needs a team to serve on and a group to belong to. If you're not serving in God's house, you're not investing fully. If you've been here for a few months and you're still just coming in, getting coffee and sitting down, you're missing an investment opportunity. Well, I don't know where to serve. Every single month we have this thing called Bridge City 101. Well, I can't stay after on Sundays right after church. Well, as a matter of fact, we have Bridge City 101 coming up at Growth Track. 3 to 6 p.m., February 16th. If you can't stay for that, you can stay on February 9th. More information coming up at the end of the worship experience. The last thing we do is we love sacrificially. We look for ways to serve. We look for ways to encourage. We look for ways to forgive. We look for ways to serve others as Christ has done for us. Biblical relationships are essential to our spiritual growth. By the way, we love each other and encourage each other and empower each other and serve each other. This is how the world will know that we're followers of Jesus. Not by what we post on Facebook. Not by sharing a picture of our coffee and our Bible and our highlighter on Instagram. But how you carry yourself. There's a card on your seat for groups. I want you to become a part of one. But the first group I want to make sure you're a part of is the Kingdom of God. If you don't have a day, a time, a place where you've received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, I want today to be your day. The group I'm talking about is the Kingdom of God. If you haven't taken your seat at the table yet, RSVP'd to the banquet in heaven, let today be your day, February 2nd, 2025. And it's real simple. God says that we need to confess with our mouth and believe in our heart that He is Lord. We shall be saved. Saved from what? A life without Him. And an eternity without Him. Heaven is real and so is hell. So if you don't have that day, that time, that place, let today be your day. And it's real simple. I just want you to slip up your hand and say, God, that's me. I need somebody to pray with me, encourage me, empower me. empower me and help me take that next step in my life. Anyone at all today? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Anybody else? Don't let this moment pass. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. Father God, we thank you for who you are and who we get to be because of you. Lord, we thank you for what you've done, what you're doing, what you're going to do. God, thank you for this place. Thank you for the community we get to walk in. Thank you for relationships and setting us free so that we can walk in community. In Jesus' name, amen. Listen, if you're a connection group leader in the room today, if you can stand to your feet. If you're a coach in the room today, if you can stand to your feet. If you are an apprentice in the room today, if you could stand to your feet. These are the people that lead the charge in creating our horizontal relationships within the church. They lead the charge in creating pastoral care. And I just want to pray over them, because without them and what they do, a lot of people wouldn't be led into having a vertical relationship with Jesus. And without horizontal relationships and vertical relationships, a lot of people wouldn't be led to the cross and lay down all their stuff and get unwrapped from their grave clothes. And without that, those two things, horizontal and vertical relationships, we wouldn't have what unifies us. That common unity of the cross. And because of that unity, we get to be reminded of the cross. So we're going to share communion in just a moment. We're all going to stand. We're all going to have worship together. But I want to pray over the connection group leaders, and then we're all going to stand and worship. And then after worship, Kevin's going to come up, and we're going to receive communion together as a group. And communion represents the common unity that we all have, which is the cross and Jesus dying on it for us. The blood that was shed, the body that was given so that we can be in freedom and walk in it indeed. Father God, I thank you so much for these connection group leaders, the coaches, the apprentices. I thank you for what you're going to do both in and through their groups, Lord. God, bless them. Fill them up. Encourage them, empower them, equip them, challenge them, Lord. Help them to take their next step. Lord, I pray that you would give them a fresh perspective of who you are and who you're calling them to be. Lord, bless them as they create a time, a place, a location to meet. And God, I pray that you would help them to lead every single person in their group to take one step closer to you. God, there are going to be people in their groups that have never read the Bible before, never prayed out loud before. There's going to be people in their groups that have never been baptized, Lord. There's going to be people in their groups that have never received you as their Lord and Savior. Help them to take that step this semester, Lord. God, we praise you in advance for all that you're going to do, both in and through these individuals' groups. In Jesus' name. Now, everybody else that's going to fill those groups, if you could stand to your feet as we worship our God. And as you're worshiping, let's get the elements ready for communion. If you didn't receive a communion element, you could just slip your hand up and one of the ushers will be around to give you one. But let's worship, church.